It's Wednesday, the 22nd of April, day 32. On Thursday, February the 27th, which now seems a long time ago, Don G. McNeil, who is a New York Times health correspondent and a guy who knows a lot about pandemics, he was the guest on the newspaper's The Daily podcast. At that point, the Western world was beginning to wake up to the thought that maybe this new virus might be dangerous. And the host, Michael Barbaro, asked McNeil how he rated COVID-19. McNeil replied that the closest comparator he could think of was the so-called Spanish flu of 1918, which killed 50 million people before it was done. And the reason for that judgment was that the first estimates coming out of China for the mortality rate of COVID-19 was 2.5%, which was about the mortality rate of the Spanish flu. What did that mean? Well, McNeil said, it meant that while not everybody died, everybody knew somebody who died. I thought of that comparison this morning after my brother-in-law phoned me to tell me that his mother, my mother-in-law, had just died in hospital from the coronavirus. In one sense, this grim news had not come as a complete surprise. She had been living in a care home, a very good and happy care home as these places go, in which one of the other residents had become infected. He had been taken to hospital and, mercifully, recovered. But the virus had made it into the care home, and my mother-in-law caught it. She was taken to hospital and within 3 days had passed away. So this was my family's Spanish flu moment. I had been thinking about her all week and reflecting on the unique cruelty of this disease. Its victims die alone, without any of their family being able to be present. There's nobody but a nurse to hold their hand as they head into the unknown. Outside, somewhere in the self-isolation zone, their loved ones sit and weep helplessly. And how different this was, I thought, from the time some years ago when her husband, my father-in-law, was dying in a hospice. Then we were all around, dropping in and out to sit with him, and my daughter and I were with him when he died. And then afterwards we had a big funeral, which was the usual mixture of shared joy at being together and shared sadness at his passing. But now there's no possibility of anything even approaching a normal funeral for my mother-in-law. So the only thing we can do is to make plans to have a massive family get-together, whenever that becomes possible, to mourn her passing, give thanks for her life, and console ourselves for the loss of a sweet, generous, and loving mother and grandmother. The only problem is that we have no idea when that get-together will happen, for the simple reason that nobody knows. Welcome to 1918.